to episode 80 of Fly Away, a weekly podcast from Outlander Travel about the thing we love most, travel. Each week, we'll talk about different adventures and vacation options out there, some local, some more exotic. Join us as we chat about our own travels and those of our clients. Hopefully, our talks will help you dream, plan, and get out there. My name is Sandy, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agent Elizabeth, and we are also joined once again by our engineer and editor Heidi.
Yay!
Spain is a country that is one of the top tourist destinations in the world. Yet, how many people do you know who have visited? Great Britain, France, and Italy get a lot of attention from American travelers, and Spain is almost like a little Iberian secret. Rich in history, culture, food, wine, and a bargain to boot. Join us this week as we explore this dynamic destination. So, Heidi, you were just there.
Yeah.
I have another friend, Emma, who was just in Spain,
too. Okay, so I have a serious question. You speak Spanish, right?
Yes.
And you've never been to Spain before?
No.
So, then why have you never been to Spain before?
Because I was an undergraduate major in Spanish and Latin American studies. My focus was in Latin America, specifically in Mexican history. My husband's Mexican, so I spent a lot of time traveling in Mexico. I probably would not have gone to Spain, but my niece was studying in Sevilla. My sister really wanted to go. She didn't want to go by herself, so we went.
So then was that a good decision?
It was an excellent decision. It was way better than what I thought it was going to be. Spain was a real surprise. And either of you have been?
No, when I was in high school, I had a really good friend who was a exchange student from Madrid, mm-hmm. and I really wanted to go visit her.
Yeah. We had an exchange student from Barcelona, and he was nice to look at.
Pagani was very beautiful
but
as well.
He was also very, very nice, and yeah, he was very proud of his country, and yeah. It was the same year that we had an exchange student from Norway, so, you know, it was actually really interesting to sort of see how people reacted to the two cultures.
Very different as you can be.
Yes.
It's funny because that year, because I became such good friends with her, we kind of got in with the whole exchange crowd. And there was a guy from Iceland. There was a girl from Colombia. You know, there was like...
My high school boyfriend was from Finland. From Helsinki.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was so cool. Yeah.
Very different culture. But anyway, Spain was a surprise because... I guess I expected almost like an industrialized commercialism or tourism that you see in Paris or in Italy. You know, you have the mm-hmm. selfie stick vendors and the mm-hmm. scarf people and people trying to drag you into restaurants and just kind of a pervasive sense of tourism. I did not get that at all in Spain.
Not anywhere.
No, and they're tourists. There are a lot of tourists. There are a lot of Spanish tourists that go to different cities. I did not feel like a tourist target, I guess, is the way.
So were you anywhere beachy or... So you didn't go to, like, the holiday weekend kind of places?
We didn't. And there's a lot of different areas like that. Mm-hmm. A lot of those areas are populated by people from the UK.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's my friend Emma.
There are actual whole enclaves down there where they do not speak Spanish. Mm-hmm. And you won't find a menu in Spanish. You won't find anything. You're right. It's very kind of a cloistered. A lot of these beach communities are very cloistered.
So where did you go? Can you just summarize real quickly?
We flew into Madrid, which is an enormous, mm-hmm. enormous airport. Mm-hmm. And then we went on the train to Sevilla. We stayed in Sevilla for 4 nights and did a day trip to another city called Cordoba. And then we went back up to Madrid and we stayed in Madrid for 5 days and did day trips from Madrid. It was, the history in Spain. Have you been to Rome?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You have Rome, the history is kind of popping mm-hmm. out of the ground mm-hmm. everywhere you mm-hmm. go. Spain was similar mm-hmm. because there's such a rich history. And I was looking it up today because I was like, okay, because...
The librarian in you.
Yeah. So listen to this. Occupied by Celt, Iberian tribes, Kelty Iberians.
They're very Kelty.
Right. The Romans brought Christianity, then the Visigoths brought more Christianity, then the Muslim state came in mm-hmm. 711, and then... That almost immediately started the reconquest of Spain, trying to get it back for the Christian kings. And that was around 1492 when Columbus, you know, sailed mm-hmm. his thing. Mm-hmm. That Isabel and Ferdinand finally got the land back under Catholicism.
That's what I was going to say. It's very Catholic, right? Yeah.
Well, it is. It's very Catholic, but everywhere you go is an incredible mixture of Islam, Judaism, and Catholicism. Mm-hmm. Judaism, this is one of the oldest Jewish civilizations in the world. Everywhere you go, every city has a Jewish quarter. There are synagogues everywhere. The population itself, it's funny, is not Jewish, mm-hmm. but up to 30 or 40% of Spaniards have Jewish blood. That's how pervasive mm-hmm. The religion was. And then they gave them the chance to convert.
Right.
And when they didn't really convert, or they hid it. And we went into a shop in Toledo, and this gentleman showed us, my niece is Jewish, and they were talking, and he said, you got to look at this, and it's a statue of the Virgin Mary, and up inside of it is, what do they call it, a mezuzah, Methuzah, it's a something, if you're Jewish, you hang outside your house, it's a welcome.
Oh, wow.
And a menorah that was disguised as a candelabra. Well, that wasn't enough for the kings in 1492, and they expelled them. Wow. And yet that's when you got this mass exodus into other parts of Europe. So you have this culture that is, you know, there are mosques that have churches now in the middle of them.
Wow.
Like giant mosques. And in the middle is a Renaissance cathedral.
Wow.
Because they would just take over whatever they could take over. Mm-hmm. The way of showing power. We're not going to knock your mosque down. We're going to make it into our cathedral.
It's going to be ours now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Spain, and my apologies to anyone who studied Spanish history, who's going to be like, of course it's not a mystery. But I do think that Spanish history is sort of the hidden history.
Yes.
It's like, we hear about it and how it interacts. I mean, everybody knows about the Spanish Inquisition. And then there, and of course, Columbus and those sorts of things. So you know about it. And even how the Spanish and English alliances were built, the kings and queens there. But yet we don't know, like our textbooks, excuse me, our textbooks don't really cover Spanish history
at all.
Especially from the Spanish point of view.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it's really just how Spain influenced some other people here and there. You know,
right.
The Spaniards coming to Mexico, we talk about the whole chocolate and gold. We talked
right.
about that before. And yeah, but we don't really talk about the Spanish very much. So.
And today, how it carries over in the food, in the accents, the spices they use. When you're down in the south, when you're in Sevilla and Cordoba, the mosque is now the church. The minaret is now a bell tower. They didn't tear these buildings down. They're just using them in repurposed ways. And the spices are definitely very African and the... Even some restaurants you'll go in and the menu will be written in Arabic. And it all works. Just works beautifully. It's very exotic. At the same time, it's comfortable. I thought the people were very friendly. There's no graffiti anywhere. If you've been to, like, Belgium or Paris or Rome or any place in Italy, there's graffiti everywhere. I was making a game with myself, like, let's find the graffiti everywhere I went.
Do you think it's law like Singapore? Or do you think
it's just
not cultural?
Clean. The streets were clean. People were just wonderful. We left Sevilla in a terrible rainstorm. We were walking. The rain was sideways, and we had two taxi cabs stop to tell us, that were full, to tell us, sorry, they couldn't pick us up.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
You're going to turn the corner. You're going to go over here. I'm calling one to meet you.
Wow.
It was just like that. They weren't effusive, like, in your face, like, hi, how are you? How many kids do you have? But they were caring, and they were kind. And that was very refreshing after kind of the indifference of France or other places I've been.
Mm-hmm. So start with Madrid. Did you spent time in Madrid before you went to? Okay, so tell us about it. What was your initial reaction? You get there and you're like, okay, this city is
big. This city is the architecture is very. I never know the word for it. Like the Flatiron building in New York, is that Belle Epoque? Like all the ironwork?
I think so. Yeah. I don't know my architecture very well either, but
it's a very grand city, definitely built to impress from a political point of view. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of fountains, big avenues, some incredible museums, and the museums are free after 6 o'clock and they're open till 10.
Is it easy to navigate? Like, okay, you think of New York City laid out like a grid, you think of London laid out like nothing.
No, it's not like that.
Okay.
But what helped us a lot actually is I do this in a lot of places. I'll take a hop on, hop off bus that first day and we run the whole circuit so you get an idea where you are. The subway system was incredibly easy to use, clean. Even at the height of rush hour when we were crammed in, I had no worries at all. I felt very safe in Spain.
So you're very fluent, though, obviously, in Spanish.
I wouldn't say fluent, but enough
more than me. So how would you describe it for, like, if you don't have a comfort zone or, like, a comfort level speaking Spanish? Would it be...
In some areas, like in Sevilla, where maybe not as much English is spoken, you would need some sort of a dictionary or something to figure out, just to figure out the food.
Yeah.
Because
do you have, any kind of apps that you use for that? I mean, I would think that there would be.
My husband has one he uses. I don't know the name of it. I can find out and put it in the show notes if you want. And we swear by it.
Yeah.
In Spain, I didn't. My niece, because she lived there, she also knew some of the peculiar vocabulary words that they use or they don't use anywhere else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, I mean, as Americans, if we speak Spanish, we're generally going to speak the Latin American influenced Spanish. How different is it?
It's very different.
Yeah?
But it's not... it's clear.
Okay, so it's doable. Yeah.
It's totally doable. But okay. It's the first
so it's
couple
like
days.
It's difference between like hey y'all and like New York
Hi.
People.
Yeah.
It's the difference between British English and American English.
Okay,
and
gotcha.
And just their slang and the things that they say. They say vale, vale, vale after everything, which just kind of means okay.
Is that like yada, yada, yada?
Yeah. Okay. That took a little bit getting used to. The other thing too about Spain is really cheap.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
Really?
Very cheap.
It's not super cheap to get there, just so our listeners know. But once you get there, then...
Once you get there, it's the food is really inexpensive. I was saying that three people were eating for half the price of two people ate in Paris. Just, like, say, an average lunch.
Well, Paris is known to be one of the more expensive cities. I will say,
Rome.
My husband's been to Spain before. It was probably 20 years ago that he was there, and he still talks about the street food. Still, like all the time, like any chance he gets to talk about the street food, he still does as if it was yesterday. Yeah.
It is worth going to Spain, I think, just to experience the whole tapas culture, especially if you go to the south to Sevilla or Cordoba. So they eat lunch at a very set time between like 1 and 2, and then they eat dinner at 9 p.m. So between that time period, that's a long period of not eating. Mm-hmm. When they get out of work or in the late afternoon, they go and they have drinks and they eat tapas. And they're little plates. They're about maybe $4 a plate. And it could be smoked ham or cheeses, little sandwiches. And if you're with a group of people, you order just a bunch of tapas, order some cocktails. That's supposed to get you through to dinner. In reality, we were eating it as lunch. Mm-hmm. And then we'd go out and have a few more for dinner.
I actually love eating that way. I love seeing things. It's something, I mean, like dim sum. And there's so many cultures where that's actually a very typical thing to sort of sample a few different things.
And they do take siestas. Like,
really?
I was surprised.
This is
because
cool.
they don't even do that in Mexico.
I'm a big fan.
2 to 6. Yeah. But even, like, the railway, even the railroad office closed. Like, we went to get tickets and it was closed.
Do you think that's is that a heat thing or is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it's cultural and the president actually wants to do away with it and people are not happy. Mm-hmm. Like he said, we need to move ahead here, people. We need to be more of an economic powerhouse. That doesn't mean shutting down for 4 hours a day, 3 hours a day, but... It's definitely entrenched.
Yeah, because I can't imagine. That's like the afternoon. That's like you're coming home or coming back to work from lunch
hours. In Sevilla, it gets very, very hot. It gets to be over 100 degrees in the summer, so...
Yeah.
So then is the work day... I mean, in Greece, what they'll tend to do is just wander in late, and then they'll work until it's time to eat, which is like 8, 9 o'clock at night. I mean, you know, so it sort of shifts the work day. It doesn't necessarily... Some of them will take a break in the middle of the day and, you know, siesta, but... That's not called a siesta. I don't speak Greek, but everything shifts. Is that sort of how it works as well?
I don't know because I didn't work.
Okay.
But I would imagine that's what it is.
So you notice like a real slowing down in the afternoon.
Definitely. They're also really night owls. Mm-hmm. These people come alive at night, like you out in the streets anytime at night to early morning. It's just like being out in the daytime. I've never seen anything like it. They're out all the time.
Well,
I was there to the days leading up to Feria, which is a huge celebration. Sevilla is a very socially conscious town where your name matters, your history of your family matters. Mm-hmm. Feria is a giant celebration where you build a caseta, a house. It's like made out of a tent. It's like a tent. And then you fund it for partying for an entire week. The entire city gets the week off.
Wow.
You dress up for it. It's all horses and top hats.
It sounds a lot like Mardi Gras, but different. I mean, you
formal,
know, sort of,
like a formal Mardi Gras, and you host it. So if you have to be invited into a tent, there are public tents that you pay for, but you have to be invited into a tent. You have to know someone. Mm-hmm.
So did you get invited?
We left. I wanted to leave before Feria because the city gets really crazy.
Yeah.
But we were up there the days before and the city was really crazy, but not in a bad way. It was like groups of women together wearing their flamenco dresses, clapping and singing as they walked through the streets. And then they would go to a bar and everybody would get a drink. And then they continued to clap and sing as they walked through the streets. Very atmospheric, almost like a little wrinkle in time, it felt like. And Madrid actually felt the same way for such a large city. It felt, I don't know, cosmopolitan at the same time. It felt very homey.
Yeah.
Definitely. And it's really easy to do day trips from Madrid.
So you went to Madrid. You went to Sevilla. Where else did you go?
We went to Segovia.
Okay. And tell us about that.
Oh,
that's
my God.
It's a little bit off the normal trail.
Yeah, it's really easy to get to. It's 40 minutes from Madrid. You get on the train and you see some glimpse of some snow-capped mountains. And then you're in a tunnel the rest of the way. And then you get there and you pop up in a field surrounded by snow-capped mountains.
Okay, so we don't have to look it up on Google Maps while we're listening. Where is it?
I think it's northwest of Madrid.
She's like, I just got on the train.
I go toward France. No, northwest.
Northwest. So towards nothing.
Okay.
I guess. Yeah. towards
Greenland?
Portugal? Yeah. I don't know.
England?
No.
Yeah.
So then you get there and you take a bus for €2, or we split a cab with this really handsome man, and it was, they drop you off and there's a giant Roman aqueduct. Like 9 kilometers of aqueduct. And that's just the first thing to see. Then you wind through all these little streets, and then you end up at the cathedral and a big plaza that looked like any town in France or Italy. It looked very European. Lots of little restaurants with windows and little curtains that you could sit down and have a coffee. And then you continue through the winding streets, through the Jewish quarter, and you end up at a castle. And it's actually along with New Schwanstein in Germany? Mm-hmm. The castle in Segovia was one of the models for Disneyland.
Wow.
And it was covered with scaffold when I was there.
So what did you do to this town? Why'd you go? Did you just throw a dart at the map? Or
I just had looked at day trips, and this was a fantastic day trip. It was it was perfect. It was easy to get to. It was beautiful. There was enough to do to just wander around. Maybe, you know, if you're a museum person, maybe not so much. I mean, there probably was a synagogue or two that had museums attached to them. We didn't go in.
So this was an attraction for nature.
No, this is a city.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
It's a city. It's more of an attraction just to wander around an old cobbled medieval walled city is what it is.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Okay.
And we also went to Toledo, which is the same. Mm-hmm. Same thing, except Toledo has the 3 overlays of the cultures in such an amazing, amazing way. Like everywhere you go, there are synagogues, there are churches, and there's a mosque, I think. I can't remember. It all kind of blends together, but...
So it sounds like you want to go back.
Absolutely. Yeah. I would go back in a heartbeat.
So would you go to the same places or would you go elsewhere?
I would go to Sevilla. We did not get to Granada, which is, I really wanted to get to Granada. I would go to Sevilla, I would go to Granada, and I would definitely go back to Segovia. I know a lot of people, Barcelona is a big interest for a lot of travelers. It's just not something I have a lot of interest in. Seems like there's a lot of tourism there.
Yeah. But it's a cruise port. Yes. So that's a number one reason. Mm-hmm. Not the number one reason, but a number one reason why people end up there. So when you're ranking your European countries that you visited, where do you put it?
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I mean,
France has kind of that pinch me, I can't believe I'm here in Paris, when you're in Paris, that kind of beauty. And Rome has the, oh, my God, I can't believe this stuff is, this history is popping on the ground. It's everywhere. Spain is like right in between. The history there, but it is there, but it's not
in your
smacking
face.
You in the face. It's just kind of there quietly, and it has beauty, but it doesn't have like an Eiffel Tower.
Right.
It is like kind of under
there
the radar.
There are some iconic. Yeah, there are some iconic things,
yes,
for sure.
For sure, in Madrid, there definitely are, and I think most of them were under scaffold when I was there.
You cannot see these. You must come back.
The only negative thing I would say, and I don't even know if it's a negative. I'm sure your travel agents, you know, ways around this, but the national railway system is called Renfe, and while the trains and the tracks are state of the art, getting tickets is an utter nightmare. It's impossible to get them from the States. The only way I could get them was through PayPal. Hmm. And then when you get to Spain, you can't use your credit card in any of the machines in the train station. So you have to go to the Renfe office and stand in line.
Is that a chip thing or is that just a thing?
Oh, my card's got a chip. Okay. It just didn't want to do it.
Well, for the record, I've booked people on trains in Spain before.
Yeah,
so
that's good. There you go.
Yeah, there you go.
Call
next time I go, you'll be booking my train.
I think we have a vendor for that.
Yes, we can do that. Yeah. We can do that. I can't guarantee we can go everywhere, but I've definitely gotten people between Barcelona and Madrid. I know
there
that.
You go.
So, and between Barcelona and Paris as well. So it is possible. But
I just feel like not a lot of people, I mean, even though it's highly touristed, I mean, it's definitely highly touristed by people from the UK. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of British people there. Mm-hmm. But in the States, I don't know that many people that have been to Spain.
It is weird. And honestly, I've been to lots and lots of European countries. I won't even pretend I've been to all of them. But I've been to some that most people have not, when you start listing them off. And I haven't been to Spain. I haven't been there. And it was funny, actually, because when my husband and I got married, we sort of talked about, like, where have you been? Where have I been? And it sort of turned out that everywhere that I had been in Europe was where he hadn't been.
Oh, that's awesome.
And everywhere he had been is where I hadn't been. So trying to find a place, that's actually why we went to Germany a couple years ago, because that was one place that neither one of us had been. And I was like, okay, at least neither one of us has been here. And Amsterdam was the same way. We had not been I've been to Scandinavia, but I hadn't been to the Netherlands before. But I had been to Switzerland before, and we'd sort of touched into Switzerland, and he ended up loving it. But yeah, so we sort of at this point now it's going to be like, okay, at least one of us will have been there, so we sort of have to trade off. So I'm sort of envisioning like a France Spain trip where I've been to France, Well, he's technically been to France now, too, because we did the French countryside last year a little bit on the river cruise.
But... just do it again.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just Spain, really, if you can get a deal on airfare, I have a friend in Canada, and there was a glitch in American Airlines system last week, and he got, and he's ticketed.
Yeah.
He got round trip from Toronto for $700 a person to go to Madrid between Christmas and New Year's.
Wow.
Right. Yeah. So that was a glitch. But if you can get the airfare once you're there, we had a 2-bedroom, 2-bath apartment right near the main train station, which is what I wanted because we were going to be doing day trips. Beautiful with like electronic drapes, washer, everything. Oh, heated nice. Towel, you know. And it was $150 a night.
So are breakfast. They on the Euro?
They are on the
Euro. Yes. Okay. Uh-huh, yeah.
So good exchange rate right now.
Yeah. At the moment. Sure. It still costs a fortune to get there. That's, I mean, that is the one frustrating thing.
Yeah.
But,
I know.
But once you get there, you're right. You actually can do really well. So, and eat cheap too. If you eat local and that's
and
actually
the shopping. Yeah. There was a lot of shopping and the shopping was really good. And
I think that is sort of the upside of it not being the primary American tourist destination.
And you know, it's surprising because, a thing that they eat there is churros and chocolate. Especially in Madrid, and I really wanted to try it and never had had it. My niece took me to one that she had gone to, and it was a chocolate is like, it's almost like a pudding. It's in a giant coffee mug, and then they serve you 4 or 5 churros, which are long, thin fried donuts, and you dip the churro in the chocolate. And I had a glass of red wine. It was €2, so that's $3. Or not even $3.
And it was good, like wasn't it?
It was good red wine.
Yeah.
And I think the churros and the chocolate were like another €3. So for $4 or $5, you had some wine and this delicious melted chocolate and these donuts.
Yeah, that didn't happen in Switzerland. I can tell
that
you.
That was the name. That would have been like $80. That was like the name of my...
charge you to read.
The name of my Spanish textbook in...
Mine too!
Churros and chocolate.
Oh my God, that's just getting college! Yes, churros y chocolate. And it had a picture of...
of a girl dipping on it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Wow. We bonded.
Yeah.
All right.
Like, that's how old we are. All right. Well, that is our show for this week. We welcome your comments and feedback on this episode or any episode, really. To leave comments, visit us at outlandertravel.com, then click on podcast at the top of the page and find the episode you wish to comment on. Or you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/outlanderpodcast or search for Flyaway. Or email us at info@outlandertravel.com. We would love to hear from you. On behalf of Elizabeth and our amazing engineer and editor, Heidi, and myself, Sandy, thank you for joining us here at Outlander Travel, and we'll see you next week. Gotta fly.